Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bill Raggio and Tom Jocelyn, senior fellows of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. Watching Afghanistan after the fall of Kabul, after the Taliban government is now ignited the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, much to discuss about the cabinet and the leadership in Kabul that we know. Tom, I begin with you because you and Bill both have written at length over the years about the Taliban's intentions to impose an emirate, including designated terrorists. What is especially rich is that the Afghanistan Taliban cabinet now consists of men that we identified, U.S. identified as terrorists, had jailed and then released to Doha, I believe, these many years. These are the five Taliban leaders associated with Bo Bergdahl's exchange of 2014. Who are they, Tom? What is the significance of them joining the cabinet? Good evening, Tom.
Good evening, John. Well, you know, Bill and I were reviewing the list of the 33 cabinet ministers named by the Taliban last year for its new Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. And the first thing that Bill and I noticed is that the new Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan is really simply the old Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, because 17 of the 33 in particular had been sanctioned by the UN in February and January of 2001. So this is more than 20 years ago. These individuals have been identified by the UN as parties that were involved in terrorism with Al-Qaeda and others, and they had to be sanctioned because of that. But they were already leaders within the Taliban's Islamic Emirate all the way back then. What we noticed was that these guys basically stayed alive all these years, whether it be in Pakistan or Qatar or elsewhere. They sheltered there. They were harbored there. And the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan kept most of its leadership cadre intact to simply assume power and take over once again now after the fall of Kabul. This speaks to the scale of the American debacle and the failure. But amongst these cabinet ministers, four of them were among the five who were traded for Bo Bergdahl in 2014. They were all senior Taliban officials prior to 9/11, and they're all senior Taliban officials once again today, including Abdulhaq Wasiq, who was a deputy in the intelligence ministry for the Taliban pre-9/11. He's now the head of the intelligence ministry for the new, which is really the old Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. Wasiq is somebody who, according to the UN and various other sources, actually worked with Al-Qaeda and helped Al-Qaeda manage its foreign fighters who were coming into Afghanistan and manage its training camps prior to 9/11. And now he's the new director of intelligence for the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. Mohammed Fazl, who's now the deputy minister of defense, he was deputy minister of defense on 9/11 for the Taliban. In fact, he coordinated the assault with Al-Qaeda against the Northern Alliance just before 9/11 in order to try and take out the Taliban's greatest opposition. And we can go on along these lines, but the bottom line is that a lot of these guys have been in the game for more than 20 years, and they simply assumed their roles once again.
I note that I think all of these men, but certainly Mohammed Fazl, was a close associate of Mullah Omar, who led the Taliban in 2001 for the attack and who refused to provide Al-Qaeda's leadership to the U.S., seeking them for the attack on New York and Washington. And that was the trigger for the U.S. and NATO to enter Afghanistan when Mullah Omar refused. All these years later, was Mullah Omar behoven to the Al-Qaeda at the time? What relationship do we believe he had with Osama bin Laden and Zawahiri at the time of the attack on New York and Washington?
So just to clarify here, all five of the Taliban leaders who were at Gitmo, who were traded for Bo Bergdahl, had close ties to Mullah Omar or Jalaluddin Haqqani, who are these two power brokers within the Taliban as of 9/11. These are the key figures who are being celebrated as the victors of this war on billboards in Kabul to this day. So these are guys who were working for the kingpins at the head of the Taliban in 2001. And both Mullah Omar and Jalaluddin Haqqani stood by Osama bin Laden, defended Osama bin Laden, protected Osama bin Laden, and endorsed his ideological agenda. This is the big lie that Bill and I have combated for years, is this idea that the Taliban was willing to turn over Osama bin Laden in 2001. That's flat false. Mullah Omar gave a talk on Voice of America, an interview on Voice of America on September 26, 2001. Not only did he say under no circumstances was he going to turn over Osama bin Laden, but he actually endorsed bin Laden's talking points and the idea that America deserved to be struck on 9/11. This is something the Taliban says to this day in its propaganda. And they even aired a video earlier this month on national TV in Afghanistan saying that America deserved to be struck for 9/11. So they've owned this all along. It's just America went into willful blindness. But one other quick point here, John. The new head of state, so-called, for the Taliban is a guy named Hassan Akhund. He's among these guys who was sanctioned by the UN all the way back in early 2001. Well, he too stood by Osama bin Laden. After the U.S. embassy bombings in 1998, the deadliest attack by al-Qaeda prior to 9/11, the UN threatened to sanction the Taliban and try to force the Taliban to turn over Osama bin Laden. And it was Akhund, then, who was serving as the foreign minister of the Taliban, came out and said, "We will not turn over Osama at any price or at any cost." They just simply wouldn't turn over Osama bin Laden. So you basically have at this point a regime that stood by Osama bin Laden. These leaders of the Taliban stood by Osama bin Laden before 9/11, on 9/11, after 9/11, and they never paid a price for that. In fact, they just resumed their roles as the heads of this regime today.
Haqqani, the Haqqani Network. Bill, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe more Haqqanis listed in the leadership of the new Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, led by, I believe, Sirajuddin Haqqani, the acting interior minister. Remind us, Bill, what is the Haqqani Network and what significance does it have if so involved in the new cabinet?
Sure, John. And the Haqqani Network, it's a specially designated global terrorist organization. The founder, Jalaluddin Haqqani, helped Osama bin Laden get into Afghanistan after he's ejected from Sudan in 1996. Sirajuddin, his son, took over the operations of the Haqqani Network in probably the mid-2000s, that closely tied to al-Qaeda for decades. Jalaluddin is probably best described as one of Osama bin Laden's mentors. Siraj is, I would estimate, and I think Tom would agree with me, would be the most powerful Taliban leader. The fact that he was given interior ministry, that puts him in command of not only the provinces, but the interior police. It's all the interior security mechanisms for the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. He's the guy who basically orchestrated this operation. The Haqqanis played a key role too with the Taliban, that this is very, very little understanding in this. After the Taliban basically played Weekend with Bernie's with Mullah Omar, when Mullah Omar actually died in 2013 and the Taliban pretended he was alive until they got burned in 2015, the Taliban was issuing statements in his name. The Haqqanis didn't get involved in that, but what they did get involved with, the Taliban started to fracture. There was some groups that were breaking off, and Siraj and his father, Jalaluddin, played an instrumental role in getting everyone back on board, including Mullah Yaqub, Mullah Omar's son, and the Mullah Dadullah Front. Very powerful factions within the Taliban were all reorganized. And then not only did they get them back together, they've been the driving force in organizing the Taliban's security forces, particularly its special forces, what it calls. This includes groups like Bajri 313, or the 313 Brigade, which they've been working on for a decade. They've been working to professionalize the Taliban's military. This is why the Haqqanis and Sirajuddin himself particularly is a very, very powerful and influential figure within the Taliban. And nearly every Haqqani leader designated, I think there's around 15 or 16 of them, almost everyone designated by the U.S. government is designated partially because of their ties to al-Qaeda. And the one or two that aren't, there's a generic mention of foreign fighters, and we all know that that means al-Qaeda, or it means some of these groups that are in the al-Qaeda sphere, like Islamic Movement Uzbekistan and Turkestan Islamic Party, groups like that.
A detail, Bill. Sirajuddin Haqqani is the son of Jalaluddin Haqqani, who was the commander of the military forces of the Haqqani network. And both of them assisted Osama bin Laden to escape in January.
Yes.
Following the American attack. Is Sirajuddin, the interior minister, is he also remaining the head of the military wing of the Haqqani network, or is there another role?
It's unclear. We don't get to, you know, so the Haqqani, just to be clear, the Haqqani network is part of the Taliban. It is a faction within the Taliban. Think of it, you know, like it's one of several groups within the Taliban, arguably the most influential. Without a doubt, he's still the leader of the Haqqani clan of the, we don't really know this because they don't issue, an organizational chart, but without a doubt, he is still the top leader of the Haqqani network. His brothers and uncles and sons, cousins, they all play key roles. And if they may be in charge of, say, one of them is actually in charge of the Haqqani's military, they're doing it under his command.
I'm speaking with Bill Raggio and Tom Jostin. They are senior fellows at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They keep the Long War Journal. The page is available to everyone all the time to update your information about Afghanistan now falling into the fog of war again with the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. There is no transparency anymore. There is no reason to trust any of the information coming out of Kabul. The opposite, in fact. We're looking at propaganda and agitprop. We also know that there are thousands of Afghanistan citizens at risk from the Taliban. However, we're concentrating on Al-Qaeda, which is always a transnational threat. And when we come back, where is Al-Qaeda right now with regard to the Islamic Emirate? Is it in Afghanistan? Is it in Pakistan? Is it in Iran? All three? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.